This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest, meatiest, center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
This is Free Talk Live, and you can bring up anything that you want here on the radio on what is apparently Bitcoin's birthday today.
Yay!
So happy birthday, Bitcoin. It's 9 years old today. With you in the studio here tonight, you've got me, Ian.
Mike.
And Will.
Of course, you can bring up anything you want, although we do tend to go towards a more crypto-heavy direction on Wednesday evenings. I think because all of us are pretty deep into to that world, just sort of during the daylight hours. And so that's where we're going to go tonight, especially because it's Bitcoin's birthday. The Genesis block. The very first Bitcoin block on what is called the Bitcoin blockchain. That's the technology, the open ledger, the public ledger, distributed public ledger, decentralized public ledger that is the guts, the technological backing behind Bitcoin, which of course has become the world's most popular and successful cryptocurrency. It was the first one as well. It's an amazing story, and the folks over at Bitcoin.com, of course, have a piece about it. Headline, we've come a long way. Bitcoin Block Zero was born 9 years ago today.
Oh,
I didn't even know that. Like, I didn't find that out until last night. My roommate, Matt, he was telling me, oh, yeah, tomorrow's Bitcoin Genesis Day. I'm like, what? Oh, it's Bitcoin's birthday. I hadn't the clue. I knew about the day with the 10th. I mean, I knew it was created in 2009, but I didn't know which day it was released. And then there was the other day that everybody commemorates, which is the Bitcoin Pizza Day. And I think that's May 22nd, if I'm recalling correctly.
Somewhere around there, yeah.
It's when the first purchase was made with, at least the first known purchase.
Two pizzas for 10,000 Bitcoins. How much is that? How expensive was that pizza?
$150 million or something like that.
Something like that.
Ooh, I hope that tasted good.
So let's go with the story here. On this day 9 years ago, quietly, Bitcoin and its blockchain network were birthed with zero block, the Genesis block. Without government permission or wealthy backers, it has generated $250 billion in value. And there's a good chance it might go past a trillion in 2018. In combination with the resultant industry it spawned, comprising thousands of alternatives, cryptocurrency is a $700 billion market. Wow, I didn't know it had crossed that. I know the last time I looked, which I think was sometime last night, the total market cap for all of the cryptocurrencies in the world combined was $650 billion. And yes, indeed, it has blown through $700 billion. It is now $739 billion. That's the total value of all cryptocurrencies in the world. There are over 1,300 of them that are listed right now at CoinMarketCap.com. That's a new record high. We've never
had. Growing up, you know.
Yeah. And in fact, in the case of Bitcoin, it's actually not growing as quickly compared to some of the rest of the cryptocurrencies out there. It is now at a new all-time low. Bitcoin in its dominance of the marketplace. It's over 34.7%. So meaning that of the roughly $740 billion market cap in the globe, 34% of that is Bitcoin's share.
Ripple's been really moving up the ranks.
Sure has. Ripple at a solid number two position at about right now. Just a little under half of the total market cap of Bitcoin.
But a lot of people challenge the idea whether Ripple is really a cryptocurrency.
I think there's some valid claims there. Now, can you summarize what that challenge is?
Well, it's
all right over there, Will?
I hate Ripple. Every time somebody brings up Ripple, I'm just
gross.
It's not really a decentralized or distributed.
Not at all. No. It's a corporate thing.
It's a corporate thing. They pre-mined 100% of the 100 billion tokens.
And aren't they burning it, too? Like, when you send Ripple, you burn Ripple?
Yeah. So that's their idea of deflation pressure on the issuance. But the thing is that the Ripple company owns 60% of the Ripple that they have in a reserve.
So hold on. So I'm glad you're telling me all this because I didn't. I mean, I knew they were burning some of this stuff when they were moving it around. But if they started with $100 billion, according to CoinMarketCap, they only have $38 billion right now.
No. That's just what's in circulation.
Okay.
$60 billion is being held by the Ripple company.
They still hold on to it, and they just release it however they want.
And so,
it's totally manipulated from top to bottom.
Yeah, so they can use their, they're the market maker.
It's not Bitcoin.
Yeah, and they can manipulate the price however they want. And so, you burn a little bit when you do transactions, and that's their idea of this destruction as a means of deflation.
The Ripple thing is also not really much of a currency either, because it's actually intended for use by banks, to have banks being able to settle debts or whatever between one another.
Yeah, and it's primarily meant to as an intermediary between different currencies, primarily fiat currencies, but to between fiat and crypto as well. So it's sort of a, I would call it a crypto lubricant, maybe.
You know what? Crypto lubricant, right? For the state to lube you up before they bring you over. That's a perfect description.
Right, because remember, the Ripple people, it's a corporation. They have total control over this. They can freeze your funds, just like any other bank.
They can lock up your account.
Yeah. So, I mean, why so
aren't
many...
Aren't they proud of being regulated or
of
being...
Of course they would be.
Yeah.
Well, Losky's on their board.
They have the New York regulator. That's who you're referring to. Ben Losky, who is... The only reason I know this guy's name is because he was the person who... Because I don't normally pay attention to politicians and such, but this was the guy who pushed through the Bit License, which is the sole reason why New York is basically a place where Bitcoin operators do not want to be. Yeah. Bitcoin companies
wasteland.
Right. They do not want to open up for business in New York because of this Bit License. You have to jump through all kinds of hoops. There's $100,000 you got to have at least just to get through the licensing process. And that's, obviously going to cut out the little guy, because the little guy doesn't have $100,000 that, you want to start a Bitcoin business? You don't have a whole lot of money? Don't go to New York.
Isn't that any business, though?
Well,
if you want to start a business and you don't have $100,000, whether it's a cryptocurrency business or not, don't go to New York.
Yeah, right. It's funny because I go down to New York regularly to meet investors. And I also meet investors from California. And everybody's telling me, you got to do business in New York.
That's where the money is.
It's like, there's money, but it's like, that's where the taxes and that's where the regulations are. And it's just going to get you into this trap. And it's like being... getting snared by the mafia.
I didn't get into cryptocurrency so that I could be regulated and taxed by the government.
Yeah.
Right. Now, so, we've gotten onto this Ripple sidetrack here. It's really bothersome how many of the libertarian cryptocurrency enthusiasts are into Ripple. You know, they just see it as this ride that they're taking, and they're going to...
I won't even trade in it.
It's almost like they feel like they're getting the best of the banks by holding on for this ride. And it's like, you guys are relying on the banks, and don't be surprised if you end up getting screwed in this deal.
And they're also promoting it to noobs.
Yeah, that's not good, man. That's not good. You don't want to promote something that the government can just come in and snatch away from you.
Yeah.
If they feel like it. And that's one of the benefits of cryptocurrency is that you are in control of your finances for the first time ever.
Right.
You don't have to rely on another person. Yes, you have to rely on the companies that program the wallets, because unless you're a programmer who can program your own wallet, there's to some extent some reliance there.
So why would you turn around and hand control back over?
Right. But at least with many of the wallets, they're open source, so the code is out there, so the people who know how to look at code can go and validate the code and make sure it's not like some kind of sneaky backdoor that they're going to try to steal your Bitcoin or whatever. So you have control over your own money, because with cryptocurrency, with real cryptocurrencies, you have what they call the private keys. And this has to do with cryptography, public and private key pairs. When you give somebody your Bitcoin address, that's your public key. That's the one that you can show to anyone in the world, because if somebody has that address, all they can do with it is send you money. Mm-hmm. That's all they can do with it. With your private keys, Those are the ones you want to keep private. You want to keep those secret. You don't want to just share those with people, because if you share those, then whoever you share it with has access to send your Bitcoin. They can then take your Bitcoin from you. So only you want to hold on to the private keys. And in the case of something like Ripple, you don't have access to that stuff, as far as I understand. Because if they can freeze it, they're the ones who are in control of it. But let's continue here on Bitcoin's Genesis Day. It is 9 years old today, and this is Free Talk Live. If you want to join us here, 855-450-FREE, you can take control of the airwaves.
I got my Blink Home security system delivered right to my door. I downloaded the app and it walked me right through the easy setup. Even with my complicated router system, I was done in like 10 minutes. Now it notifies me whenever something moves in front of the wireless cameras, or I can just check it whenever I want right from my phone. And I got you a deal. Get three Blink cams for what the other guys charge you for one, plus an extra 10% off. Visit blinkprotect.com/FTL. blinkprotect.com/FTL. blinkprotect.com/FTL.
Thinking about getting into cryptocurrency? It's time you looked into Dash. Dash is digital money that you can use to send instant and private payments anywhere for pennies. Dash offers a decentralized network where miners are rewarded for keeping it strong and safe. Dash has made a huge impact in the crypto world. Start your journey. Check out Dash.org for more information. And get in now on the future of cryptocurrency. Dash.org.
The Bitcoin.com wallet is a simple and powerful full-featured Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin Core wallet that allows you to send and receive either currency with anyone anywhere in the world. Download the Bitcoin.com wallet for easy and secure access to your Bitcoin Cash. It's perfect for beginners, and the Bitcoin.com wallet makes using and holding Bitcoins easy. No logins are required. The Bitcoin.com wallet is available for Android, iOS, Windows, Mac, and even Linux. Learn more at Bitcoin.com.
Cryptocurrencies are successful because of good technology. The liberty-loving voluntarists who founded Zencash in 2017 took the best tech, like zero-knowledge anonymity and decentralized autonomous organizations, and are creating a secure platform for money, messages, and media that can be sent to anyone, anywhere in the world. Zencash is a cryptocurrency dedicated to peace, anonymity, and decentralization. Find out more at Zencash.com. That's Zencash.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original, most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE. Yeah! Come on!
855-450-FREE. Like Freedom, that's 855-450-3733. And we've got Skype as well, so feel free to Skype on in here at Skype username lrn.fm, bitcoin.com. That's where we are sharing you the story about the Bitcoin Genesis block that came out 9 years ago today in the year 2009, January 3rd. We are celebrating that here tonight on Free Talk Live with Bitcoin at about $15,000 per Bitcoin. Which is, you know, not quite the highest it's been, but it may be going back up. You never know what's going to happen in the future, but it's been a great 9 years going from zero to $15,000 in that time frame. And most of that run-up happened in the last year. 2017 was an incredible year with, as we were talking about earlier, the total coin market cap now over $700 billion. Bitcoin is only about 34% of the total market cap. So it's losing its dominant position, not just on the charts, in that it's number one compared to number two, which is Ripple. Ripple's at $120 billion now, and Bitcoin at about $256 billion. So Ripple's had seen some amazing gains. It's interesting to watch it all happen. But go to Bitcoin.com. If you're new to Bitcoin, you're new to the idea of cryptocurrency, you got to go and learn about the original, the first one, the one that started it all, which was Bitcoin. So head over to Bitcoin.com and check that out. And again, don't forget about their news site. There's always new information being posted there at news.bitcoin.com. As we continue here, it's Ian, Mike, and Will in the studio tonight. We started the story here about the Genesis block and talking about the industries that were spawned. All of these companies, they never existed before. The Coinbase, the BitPay, you know, oh, there's so much out there. Blockchain.info. And those are just some of the older ones. I mean, there's probably a bunch of them that have failed as well because that's
oh,
just,
tons.
Yeah. But a lot of people have tried a lot of different things, lots of innovations, new ways of getting access to Bitcoin wallets, and more competition now than there's ever been. It's really an amazing space to learn about.
Talking about how, like, libertarians are promoting Ripple, and now you have...
which is like a bank.
Yeah.
Bank currency.
You have, and that's not the only thing that's going around now that is, you know, basically bragging in libertarian space that they're, you know, supported by Department of Homeland Security or some other nonsense, you know, like, and if you're a libertarian, there's so many options out there that are built around privacy and decentralization that if you're not investing in those coins, you're either, to me, you're kind of a philosophical trader because you're financially supporting, you know, something that's outside, and I don't care if you feel like you're getting the wool over on, you're not, okay? You're putting money in, it's just like putting money into the banks, you're helping drive the prices up, you're helping drive up the value of that $60 billion that's not been mined so that these yahoos can go to the bank with big piles of money when this whole thing is over with. Why not support Zcash? Why not support Zencash? Why not support
Monero?
Verge? Why not support Monero? Why not, you know, okay, fine, why not support, like, at least Vertcoin decentralizes mining.
Now,
it may be simple Bitcoin or Litecoin, but at least they want to decentralize mining. I mean, the idea is decentralization for libertarians,
that's what we thought,
supporting the centralizers.
Right.
But if you've got people coming into crypto buying Ripple with fiat money, like dollars or whatever, that's fine if it's kind of like, you know, the entry drug into crypto,
right?
And that if that gets them into things like Bitcoin and Verge and so on and so forth, that's a great thing. But from the charts I've been seeing, people, about two-thirds of the money going into into Ripple is actually coming from Bitcoin and Ethereum and a couple other current blockchains.
Does that mean that the people who are buying with Bitcoin or Ethereum or these others, they're buying Ripple? Does that mean the banks are the ones getting the Ethereum and the Bitcoin?
Whoever's holding the Ripple that's selling it to them. So banks, the Ripple Corporation, which has banks as investors,
right,
so on and so forth.
Because that's what
they're trading you this worthless, regulated,
manipulatable
crap for good cryptocurrency.
Yeah, and so the story going around is that Ripple is a scheme really for the banks
to get a bunch of
cheap
Bitcoin,
get low-cost Bitcoin and Ethereum to build up their reserves so that they can basically capture this store of value just like they captured all the gold in 1932 when Roosevelt turned it all over.
You get none of mine.
It's a brilliant plan.
Yeah.
If that's what's actually happening. You get
none of mine.
So, you know, if you anybody out there is looking at getting into crypto and hears that it's easy to get into Ripple, buy Ripple with fiat and use that to buy other crypto. Don't spend your crypto on Ripple.
Good advice. So if you want to join us here, the toll-free number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. Although I don't know how easy it is to get Ripple.
Better yet.
Is it that easy?
It's not.
They have their
own
exchange, and they have interfaces with Morgan Stanley and HSBC and a number of other big banks.
You can buy them with dollar tethers on I think HitBTC and
yeah, but the average person isn't going to be able to.
You can buy them with New Zealand dollars on
there is Cryptopia. Talk that Ripple's going to wind up on Coinbase soon, and I don't
know.
That
would be awful.
I don't know how accurate that story
is. It wouldn't surprise me if it were true, but it will be awful if it does turn true. Let's talk to Robert. He's in Bellows Falls, Vermont. Robert, you're on Free Talk Live.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
I usually don't call this early, but it's really exciting that, you know, that this show has been talking about cryptocurrency here, you know, pretty frequently for at least, I want to say at least a better part of the month anyways.
Well, I mean, we've been talking about cryptocurrency for 7 years, basically.
Well, I mean, a lot more often is what I meant.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. But I, you know, one of the currency that I have is Dogecoin, and I kind of feel, how come you guys, you kind of seem like you're just, you're not talking about it at all. You don't
there's
like Dogecoin at all.
Well, there's a little to say. Doge has gone up in value a lot recently.
Yeah, so has everything, though.
Yeah, everything. But and I know a few people who have had, you know, don't really pay much attention to crypto, but they wound up with a lot of Doge, you know, a few years ago, and they come back.
Because it was
and they
a
go,
joke.
Yeah, they, it was a big
it's
joke.
It's becoming an entry level currency for people. Like, say you're like me, and you don't have like $15,000 to buy a Bitcoin,
but you don't have to buy a whole Bitcoin.
Yeah, but there's something. There's a psychological feeling.
The Doge meme is kind of like
that comes along with owning a whole coin,
yeah,
or hundreds of it, to the point that like some of the exchanges that I go on, they not only have BTC to whatever you're going exchanges, they now have a Doge exchange, and the Doge exchange many times now is as big, if not bigger, than the Bitcoin exchange. And like Cryptopia, the Bitcoin exchange closes at 5 o'clock. So after 5 p.m.
They close a Bitcoin exchange?
You can't exchange Bitcoin for other big currencies, but you can with Doge.
I've never heard
of
a Bitcoin exchange.
The Doge stays open 24 hours.
And it's great for microtransactions.
Yep.
Yeah, that much is true. Hey, we did talk about Doge when it came out because it was hilarious, and they were like buying... remember when they bought that race car wrap?
Yeah.
It's a serious currency now.
Hey, thanks, Robert, for the call tonight. I appreciate it. Our toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE like freedom. I don't know if it's serious, but it's doing much better than it ever has. It's Free Talk Live.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Have you ever wondered who the second person to discover gravity was? When you're in the mood for a treat, would you go to the second best bakery in town? Or how about the name John Breckenridge? Recognize it? If you don't, that's because he came in second to Abraham Lincoln. The firsts are first for a reason. Just how ID Stronghold was the first to create the technology to protect your credit cards from thieves with RFID chip scanners. ID Stronghold products block signals from those scanners, so thieves can't capture your critical data. Get a stronghold on your personal information and protect your family too. Don't settle for the second best wallet. Pick up ID Stronghold wallets for everyone on your list this holiday season. They're the perfect stocking stuffer, with leather wallets starting as low as $20 on Walmart.com, eBay, Amazon, and QVC. Save 10% by using coupon code PRESENT for a limited time. That's coupon code PRESENT only on IDStronghold.com. IDStronghold.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Live, you can dial toll free and join us here. Our number is 855-453, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. It is Bitcoin's ninth birthday, so kudos and congratulations all around. As we continue, we'll tell you a little bit more about the history of the Bitcoin blockchain and what it's all about. You can, of course, join us online anytime you want over at freetalklive.com. We're brought to you by all kinds of different cryptocurrency-related organizations and cryptos, including Zencash. It's one of the hottest cryptocurrencies that started up in 2017, and I think it's pretty important because it was actually founded by voluntarists, people who care about the ideas of liberty in addition to being interested in cryptocurrency. And to me, when you have a boatload of competitors out there, all of them scratching to try to compete to, you know, defeat Bitcoin and, you know, possibly become the number one crypto in the world, how do you pick a winner? Well, I'm not saying Zencash is going to be the winner. I have no idea what's going to happen in the future. But if I have a limited amount of funds to invest, I'm going to choose one that's more ideologically compatible. Do you choose Ripple, which is run by the banks and, you know, basically in bed with the governments? Or do you choose something like Zencash, which is actually run by voluntarists who understand economics? I mean, it seems to me to be a no-brainer. Plus, Zencash actually rolled in some of the best cryptography that's out there, including zero-knowledge anonymity. So it's actually a privacy coin. In addition to them having what they're building is a decentralized autonomous organization. So they've taken some of the best ideas from some of the existing cryptos out there. And I think, Will, you said this is one of the third generation altcoins.
That's right? What I've heard them described in some of the, some of the speeches that I've seen given by different, developers and cryptographers that are talking about the new coins, the new kids on the block, Cardano, Zencash, with these extra. These are second generation security contracts, because we've already had one kind of security contracts that existed, and now these are the next level.
They are taking the Zcash thing to the next level. So check out Zencash. It is actually allows you to send money and messages to anyone anywhere in the world, and it's private. So Zencash is a cryptocurrency dedicated to peace, anonymity, and decentralization. You can find out more at Zencash.com. That, again, is Zencash.com. Let's go to your phone calls and thoughts. Libertarian Banker is on the line, calling from the United States. You're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, guys.
Hey there.
I just want to call in real quick and talk to you all about Ripple.
Sure.
I hear you guys are on air just giving it a hard time, and I just wanted to call in, I guess, and defend it a little bit. Now, I'm not the biggest Ripple fan in the world, nor do I. I mean, I own some of it, but I just wanted to play the other side of it here.
Sure, yeah, let's hear it.
Things that you guys are missing here. I think one of the major advantages to Ripple is that it's a way for banks to transfer wealth to each other. So not only
that's
is
fine.
It a currency, but it's also a network. And what it does is it's gonna revolutionize banking in a way because of the old Federal Reserve ACH system and the how slow it is to process transactions and things like this. And this is gonna completely revolutionize payments and
I think that's great.
Payments cheaper.
I don't think there's anything wrong with the idea of Ripple as far as, like, helping banks move money around.
Absolutely.
Great. I don't want to wait 3 days or 3 business days.
I hate my bank.
Yeah.
And the time transferring money is the biggest reason I hate them. And that's great.
So the question is the Federal Reserve going to allow banks to use Ripple?
Well, it doesn't matter, Ian, because what the Ripple network allows them to do is allows banks to deposit any currency in the world, whether it's euros, dollars, yen, whatever, and transfer the wealth in Ripple and then cash out on the other end in their local currency instantaneously. So the Fed doesn't even have to be involved.
What I'm saying is the Federal Reserve is basically in charge of all of the banks.
Yeah.
So if the Federal Reserve says, you can't use this Ripple thing. You got to keep using the Federal Reserve ACH and wiring system.
And they'll be, even if it's for some microsecond between the dollar and the yen, the bank is holding Ripple in between that transaction. And there are not just federal laws, but state laws that limit what sort of financial instruments banks are allowed to own, even for a microsecond. And so far, none of them are allowed to hold cryptocurrency. So there needs to be some regulatory.
You're not worried about that?
Well, I guess what I'm saying is that, and that was my first point, and if I can get to the other two, I'll kind of explain it. But I think what I'm saying is that it has an actual use case. There's a ton of cryptocurrencies out there that are absolute crap, man. They don't do anything. And this one has a specific use case with, a demand. There's a market demand in the banking industry for this, and Ripple's revolutionizing it. And I think it's
Look, man, I got no problem with the idea of Ripple, but it's not a cryptocurrency.
And if it's being used as a scheme for banks to get a hold of good cryptocurrency, if that's what's happening, then that's a threat to the cryptocurrency community.
I would say, look, man, Mike, I would say that is a plus, because let's get away from the Federal Reserve, because here's the immorality.
You can't. You're regulated by
them. The banks own the Federal Reserve. They're part of the system.
Here's the immorality of the whole system is the fact that the banks can borrow money from the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve can collect taxes from my child, my grandchild, my great-grandchild to repay those debts. And that is immoral as hell. And when banks are starting to get involved in blockchain technology and crypto assets, it completely eliminates that. You can't borrow against future Bitcoin. It's impossible the way the network is set up to print more Bitcoin.
Well, the bankers aren't going to stop borrowing from the Federal Reserve.
This is like asking for virtuous behavior from Satan.
It's getting away from that fiat currency, and it's a step in the right direction.
I agree with you. Look, man, I didn't say the banks shouldn't have Ripple. I never said that. I think that if the banks actually do this Ripple thing, and there's so far, from what I understand, no banks are, but if the banks are going to actually do this and it makes money transfers faster between banks, that's great. I think that's fantastic. If it makes it easier to send money, you know, over a wire transfer because you don't have to go through the Fed wire system anymore and you can do it bank to bank directly, if you can cut out the Federal Reserve somehow, fantastic. But don't go around trying to claim this is a cryptocurrency that is in any way anything like Bitcoin or, you know, Monero or Dash. And I'm not saying you're claiming that, but there are people out there who are acting as though Ripple is just one of this bevy of cryptocurrencies, and it doesn't meet the definition at all.
I agree. It is not decentralized, and they can take you. But I believe that its use case is its benefits of its use case far outweigh the cons of it. That's all I'm saying.
Fine. Like I said, not everybody has to invest in it. Our concern was that people who claim to be for freedom are out there promoting this currency that is arguably the least free of all of the cryptocurrencies out there. It's not even a cryptocurrency because it's not, you know, open source. It's not, I don't know what level of cryptography they even are using with it. I'm sure there's some, but it's certainly not decentralized. It's completely controlled. It is top-down.
Agreed.
Managed, and so therefore it shouldn't even be on the list.
60% of it is held by the creating company.
Yeah, it shouldn't not. Yeah, it should not even be on the list. And
think about the size of that company. That's on another note. I mean, what are they worth? Like $50 billion within the course of 2 months or something like that.
It's a lot. Here's what I want to know is there a difference? Are you aware of Stellar Lumens? Because I've heard that they are supposed to be kind of like Ripple in that they're going to be a bank-to-bank kind of...
One of the two co-founders of Ripple is the founder of Stellar Lumens. Mm-hmm. And he, with Stellar Lumens, he claims that he has fixed the problems that Ripple has had. And so Stellar Lumens is better, more ethical, you know, it's that sort of thing.
So Stellar Lumens...
Sure, I had not even looked into that. I assumed it was a lot like Ripple. So I'll do some more research on that particular one.
Is Stellar Lumens, are they less offensive to own than Ripple, or are they just as bad? Because I've heard that they can freeze your account, too.
I believe they may be able to do that. And there's, you know, so that it's sort of like, you know, a lesser evil.
Is that right?
As libertarians are used to.
Well, it's doing very well. It's broken into the top 10 now. Did you make your third point, Banker? If not, we can hang on to you.
Yeah, I did. I'm good to go, guys.
Hey, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. Yeah, I don't think Ripple's a bad idea for banks. I just think it's a bad idea for those of us who care about freedom to own it.
Absolutely.
And to support it. It's Free Talk Live.
Crimes of the Crown by Captain Mark. The crown casts the world in shadow and claims to be our guiding light. Cowards clamor for security from boogeymen and ghost stories. While I say these hobgoblins are imaginary, I say those they propped up as our liberators are now subsisting on our bondage. I say there is freedom in the black, and that's exactly where we intend to go. The crown banishes its own officers for exposing its crimes and tortures dissidents to the brink of madness. It dominates the globe and swallows the wealth of generations, leaving only blood and excrement. The crown calls it piracy to explore frontiers beyond its grasp. So the time has come for us to define the conduct among pirates. I say the crown has trampled our necks long enough. Need decentralized solutions to centralized problems? Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels? Or just want some swag to let the crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at piratewithoutborders.com. We won't be hard to find.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did. We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $9.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever.
Hmm.
Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
BuySellMakeOffer.com.
BuySellMakeOffer.com. You got it?
BuySellMakeOffer.com.
BuySellMakeOffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Free to join us here on the radio. Our number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We've got Skype. You can Skype in at Skype username lrn.fm. Joining you in the studio, it's Ian,
Mike,
and Will.
And, of course, you can join us online over at freetalklive.com. You can sign up for our email list. We will send you an email usually a once-a-week basis to keep you in the loop with what's happening with Free Talk Live. As I say, you can follow us there over at freetalklive.com. There is a email sign-up box right there on the front page of the website. It's kind of in the center front top area of the site. So check it out. Get signed up over there at freetalklive.com. As we will continue, we'll take your calls about whatever's on your mind. We're discussing the birthday of one of our favorite things, Bitcoin, which unfortunately is not doing so well these days. I mean, the price is doing great. It's at $15,000 per Bitcoin today, which is incredible. But the usefulness of the Bitcoin has gone down. And as they are saying here over at news.bitcoin.com, we have come a long way where Bitcoin was born 9 years ago today. By its creator, the still anonymous Satoshi Nakamoto. After nearly a decade, he is still unknown. Or she. Or they.
They.
Or it.
I'm totally going with that.
Well,
what
unknown
about
by most.
Space aliens.
I talked with him the other day.
You talked with Satoshi Nakamoto?
Yeah.
Did how do you know it was him? Because Satoshi, real Satoshi, would have to sign with their PGP key, right?
Well, for people that didn't know him before.
You're claiming to know Satoshi Nakamoto?
I've told you about this.
You told me that it was a group of people.
It's a group of people, but I know who has the different people, so I know who I'm talking to.
Yeah, but how do you know? I mean, there's been people out there for a long time who've been trying to figure this out, and you're claiming that you know?
Well, I worked on Bitgold, man, so I know everybody in that was involved in things.
How many people are Satoshi Nakamoto?
There's at least five, possibly seven, depending upon, you know, well, you know, Hal's dead, and of mm-hmm. course, and there's another person who joined after I left who has also passed away. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you've got, you know, about five or six people who are, you know, essentially in the know.
So what you're saying is this group of people, all of them have access to the PGP key?
Only one does.
And who's that?
I can't say. I'm contractually bound against discussing this further.
I'm surprised nobody's tried to torture it out of you at this point, since the government's really, really want to know who Satoshi is.
They haven't shown up at my door, not like the Secret Service did over the Kilo decision.
Yeah.
Well, they know where this door is.
Where you live.
Oh, hell.
You can bet that.
They've already got, Secret Service already has a file on me, so I'm not worried.
So more than 500,000 mind blocks later, enthusiasts can only imagine what's to come to Bitcoin, or what's to come in Bitcoin's next 9 years. Pseudonymous Satoshi Nakamoto, perhaps one person, maybe a group, set loose a hinge of human history, the blockchain database, and its resultant cryptographic currency, Bitcoin. The first block, block zero, and its 50 Bitcoin reward, now worth over $700,000 as of this writing, was locked, unable to be transacted, and for all of time. Saturday, January 3rd, 2009, at 6:15 p.m., I presume that's Eastern time, the Genesis block, oh, maybe it's GMT. Anyway, the Genesis block also contained, smuggled in the code, text from the morning's Times of London, a cultural timestamp, and allusion to what Bitcoin was meant to explicitly address. Yet another taxpayer bailout of legacy banking screamed in a below-the-fold headline.
And that was not an accident.
The Great Recession metastasized from the world's reserve currency, the United States, to all first world nations, and quickly, shaky investment vehicles, largely in real estate financing with risks insured by governments, proved a moral hazard, taking down the Royal Bank of Scotland and several others. At least a few people appeared ready for something radical, something different, when it came to organizing one half of all transactions. Money, a main measure of wealth, had been nationalized, tethered to instruments of coercion and force. The issue in the first decade of the 21st century was divorcing money and state, getting around governments and their incessant push to monitor and control and inflate. And that is, you know, kind of the crux of why Bitcoin was created, wasn't it?
Because, you know, libertarians around the world know that the biggest problem with statism is that it's control over the economy to whatever degree, you know. So, you know, in the past century, people were emphasizing separation of church and state. Well, now we emphasize the separation of economy and state.
I emphasize the separation of law and state.
I emphasize the destruction of all the ideas of the state, but we're not there yet. But, yeah, so this was a major, like, change, a shift for humanity that most people don't really even understand what Satoshi Nakamoto accomplished. They've never really thought about how important of a distinction this is, that we finally have a form of money that the banks do not have control over, that the government does not have control over. This is a first for all of humanity, for all of time, basically.
You know, historically, if you go back to the mid-19th century, just in the U.S. alone, there were 14,000 currencies.
Mm-hmm.
And basically every bank issued their own notes. Because if you didn't have gold and silver on hand, mm-hmm. because you had them, if you were operating a bank and you would lend those out to people to for various reasons, you still had assets in terms of the mortgages, so you could issue your own bank's own notes based on the value of those mortgages. And so every bank had their own currency, and the value of that currency would vary based on reputation and distance. So a person who had, you know, notes from some podunk bank here in New Hampshire that wanted to travel out west, and they had their local bank's notes, those notes would have zero value in, say, Oklahoma or Colorado or whatever. But so they would go to a large regional bank like in Boston or New York and exchange those for notes with a bank that people recognize,
mm-hmm.
and then they would go to a larger bank out west and do the same thing. So it's a very, you know, cumbersome way of doing things, but it was really the only way because of the lack of, you know, credit bureaus and other ways for people to verify the veracity of banknotes, because you could, you know, you could theoretically counterfeit them. And,
sure.
And a lot of that, I'm sure, happened.
Right. How do you know what one bank's note looks like compared to another bank?
And that was sort of a problem with the, you know, trust. And going back to Satoshi, the big game theory that Satoshi solved with Bitcoin is what we call the Byzantine Generals problem, which is how do you trust the transactions of others you're trying to cooperate with who you do not trust?
Right.
And so the Bitcoin enables this trustless monetary exchange.
Where there's no fraud in the system.
Exactly.
It is, the way the system is set up is to prevent any kind of fraudulent transactions because of its decentralized, distributed nature, where this ledger essentially lives the history of all Bitcoin transactions that have ever occurred, lives in thousands of places all around the globe, and they're all linked together simultaneously. So if somebody tries some sort of monkey business on their copy of the ledger, the others reject it, and that just doesn't fly. Now, Will, you'd said what I said wasn't true, so can you correct me then? I'd made a statement about how, like, Bitcoin was the first time that people have actually had money that wasn't controlled by banks or governments.
Yeah. Throughout antiquity, there were basically, the way medium of exchanges work, at least in the Muslim world, was you had gold and silver.
Mm-hmm.
But then anything that was local, that was in high volume, you know, it was massive quantities of it around, and it also had a use, you know, outside of being a medium of exchange, was money.
Okay.
So, like in Arab lands, they used dates as money.
The food.
The date. That's right.
And same thing in the West. Because money was so scarce. You know, granted, you know, after that reduced a bit after the gold rush, but you had, you know, the major asset that people had was their farming produce.
Mm-hmm.
And usually the person they owed money to the most was the general store who was supplying them with seeds, with tools, with, you know, anything they needed to develop their farm that they couldn't grow or build themselves. And so there was always, the general store was the major creditor and would often take produce as a exchangeable commodity, and they would issue script in the off season to people to.
I'm talking more than just like a barter style script,
right,
like that, but literally, like today, currently, you have communities in Malaysia that use rice as a form of currency. It is medium. It's rice specifically. It's used as a medium of exchange. You can buy things with pounds and pounds of rice because it has a long shelf life and it's in high supply and it has a value outside of using it as a medium of exchange. Same thing in Trinidad. You have villages that use sugar as a medium of exchange.
We're going to come back with more, and you can share your thoughts. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. Join us. Hour 2 is coming up on Free Talk Live.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.